You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, a lot has happened since we've last been on the air together. Man, I know I've been MIA, but I had a lot going on, y'all. I actually just got a new job, so thank God. Just got hired for a new position. I'm excited about it, starting next week. So y'all pray for me on this new journey, this new chapter. So going to be working at the crib. That's right, fully remote. I'm so excited about it. I hope all has been well on y'all's end, man. Look, we've been having some hot weather out here, man. It's been crazy. When they say hot summer, look, down in Georgia, that's an understatement, man. It's a scorching summer down here. But we've been getting some rain lately, so at least that's been helping a little bit. But yeah, man, other than that, man, just been standing in the gym. Y'all know I love to work out, so I've been in the gym, been trying to keep my body right, my mind right, and get ready for this next chapter. So, look, had a birthday. So your boy is 32 now. I had an amazing, amazing birthday. Great time celebrating. I appreciate all the love and support, everybody who reached out to me on my birthday, man. I had an amazing weekend and all the love and support was much appreciated. But yeah, man. It's a lot going on, like I said, in the sports world, man. But look, we are closer and closer to football, y'all. In just 2 weeks, we have the Hall of Fame game. It's going to be featuring my Chicago Bears versus the Houston Texans, man. I couldn't be more excited that football is right around the corner. And look, with that, we'll just go ahead and kick into things, man. We got the NFL training camps that have officially opened this week, man, with teams that are reporting. I know rookies have already reported for most teams, and the veterans will be reporting throughout the remainder of this week and next week as well. So let's talk about what, you know, I'm most excited about heading into this season. You know, obviously, I'm going to go with my Chicago Bears, man. Big news coming out of Chicago, Caleb Williams. Just signed 4-year, $39 million contract, including a $25 million signing bonus. Roma Dunze, number 9 pick, a wide receiver out of Washington, signed his 4-year rookie contract for $22 million. So the Bears lock up both of their first two draft picks from the first round. Excited that those deals were able to get done right at the start of training camp, where rookies were supposed to be reporting on Tuesday, which a lot of people were getting a little frantic about it, a little antsy, but you know, there was no panic with getting these deals done. The holdup, if you all were wondering why it took Williams a while to sign it, Caleb Williams does not actually have an agent. So he has a legal team that handles all of his legal matters when it comes to, you know, finances, contracts, anything, you know, in the NFL. And with that being said, with him not having an agent, it typically takes a lot longer. It takes a little bit longer when you're hashing out contract negotiations with the legal team, because these are, a team of people that are not sports agents, right? So they may not know the language. They may need to get a further understanding of the verbiage in the contract. So, you know, taking that extra time to really fully understand what these contracts entail and the details included within them, that takes a little bit more time. So I think that was kind of what, you know, a little bit of the holdup was. And also, let's not forget that Hard Knocks is going to be in Chicago this year for training camp. One of the three Hard Knocks that'll be going on this year. We already have one that's being aired right now with the New York Giants. This is during the pre-draft and the free agency process. But training camp, Hard Knocks, the regular Hard Knocks, will be with the Chicago Bears this year. So I'm excited about that. But just happy again that both of these guys were able to get their rookie contract signed like I knew they would. But, you know, I'm most excited to see, you know, how my Bears are going to look this year. Obviously, with Caleb Williams stepping into the situation that he's stepping into, you know, the Bears go out in free agency and they get DeAndre Swift to pair up with Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson in the backfield. So you got that three-headed monster there. They go out and get Keenan Allen to pair up with DJ Moore. 2,000-yard wide receivers, man, right there. And then you add in Roma Dunze, obviously, to make that a trio, a nice wide receiver trio for Caleb Williams. And then, you know, let's not forget about Gerald Everett that they went out and got as well. Solid tight end, one of the top tight ends in the league. And pair him alongside Cole Kmet, who was one of the top tight ends in the league as well. And then you revamped the offensive line. So offensive line is going to be pretty solid this year as well. So look, I'm excited about what this offense is going to look like. I'm excited to see, you know, Caleb really step in and make this thing his own and really hit the ground running, man. And I know, you know, a lot of people are out here making, you know, the argument that they don't think that, you know, Caleb Williams will be successful. But it's just funny to me how the tone changed from before the draft up until now, because before the draft, everybody was, oh, Caleb Williams is a generational talent. Oh, you know, he's going to come in and he's going to have his success. And, you know, now that he's been drafted by the Bears, it seems like some of the tone, not with everybody, but some of these analysts out here have switched their tone. And, you know, you got guys like Booger McFarland saying, oh, well, last year the number two pick had more success than the number one pick. So I think that Jaden Daniels, and with that being said, I think that that's the reason why Jaden Daniels is going to have more success than Caleb Williams. You know, just a lot of clown takes out here. I just think that that's just, you know, an idiotic thing to say from certain analysts out here, just to say that, you know, they don't think that Caleb is going to be successful. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that, you know, he's gonna throw for 5,000 yards and all of this, but I do think that the situation he's stepping into is one of the best that a rookie has ever stepped into. And I think the Bears have done an exceptional job. Ryan Poles, general manager, has done an exceptional job building this roster up in the draft, which he promised to do when he took over as the general manager for the Chicago Bears. He said that he's going to build this team through the draft. He's done just that. And I'm excited about, you know, the way that the team is going to be, you know, they're going to perform this year. I mean, look at the defense. I think that they're definitely going to have a top 10 defense in the NFL with the pieces that we have there. And like I said, man, the defense will play a really, really big role in helping you know, this offense be successful, because if the defense can continue to get stops, keep the ball in the offense's hands, it's just going to give Caleb Williams more reps. It's going to get him more comfortable, build his confidence up, especially when he has guys that can get open, a DJ Moore, a Keenan Allen, and soon to be Roma Dunze, guys that Cole Kmet, guys, Gerald Everett, that can really, really be able to help stretch that field and give him a lot of options, a lot of, you know, I think it'll be a lot of open windows to throw to. So, and then let's not forget about, you know, DeAndre Swift being a threat out of the backfield like he is. So yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited to see, just the Chicago Bears and how they look. And I do think that the Bears are going to be a playoff team. I do think that it is realistic to expect between a 10 and 12 win season. I do think that that is a realistic expectation. And I do think that their schedule is favorable with not having to play any of their divisional games until later in the year. So, again, I think that if you get off to a pretty fast start, I know that there's a couple of, you know, a couple of games that that will be a challenge up early on. You know, looking at their schedule now, you get the Titans week one, then you got week two against the Texans. That'll be a tough one. Then you go on the road to the Colts. You host the Rams. You host the Panthers. You're in London against the Jaguars. You go on the road to the Commanders, on the road to Arizona, host the Patriots at home. Then after that, so those will be, what is that, 9 games before they play their divisional games. Now, when they kick off the divisional games, it'll be November 17th. So you get Packers, Vikings, and Lions back-to-back-to-back. So that will be tough, but you do get Packers and Vikings at home. So they'll have 3 straight home games with Patriots, Packers, and then Vikings. Then you go on the road to play the Lions, on the road to play the 49ers, on the road to play the Vikings. You host the they host the Lions, host the Seahawks, and then on the road to play the Packers. So I do think that, again, it's not unrealistic to say that this team can get between 10 and 12 wins and a playoff berth. So I do think that that is possible. So I'm definitely excited to see it. But moving on, man, let's talk real quickly to Summer League. So there's been some you know, news coming out that came out recently. I guess you could call it controversy. Jaylen Brown was seen courtside, you know, talking and saying that, you know, you could, I guess the camera was filming him having a conversation, and you could see him say that he didn't think that Bronny James was a pro right now. And, you know, for me, you know, biggest question is he ready for the NBA? Right. So we've seen him struggle early in the summer league, and everything like that. And people made a big, huge deal out of what Jaylen Brown said. But me personally, I don't think that there was anything wrong with Jaylen Brown, with what Jaylen Brown said. Look, many of us have said this. Many of us have thought this. Majority of us have. And when I say many, a good majority of people have already made this statement that Bronny James is not ready. I fully agree with that. I do not think that Bronny James is ready for the NBA. I'm not saying that he, you know, won't go on to be a good player in the NBA. But I don't think that he's NBA ready right now. I mean, you're talking about a guy, I know he had the situation with, you know, with his heart and stuff like that. And, you know, he only played 25 games at USC, and I think he only averaged, about 4 to 5 points a game. So looking at that, I was just like, you know, when he declared for the draft, I'm like, what sample size do we have to say that he's NBA ready right now? And really what all this is about is LeBron wanting to play with his son, be the first person to play with his son, which is, you know, it's cool. You know, it's a great accomplishment. You know, it's the first time. We've never seen it done before. We've never seen it. So, you know, congratulations to, you know, to both of them for being able to, you know, get a chance to play together. But I've heard people say like, oh yeah, this was such, you know, a mastermind move by LeBron to get Bronny. I'm like, look, nobody was going to draft Bronny James but the Lakers, man. Nobody was going to take Bronny in this draft right now. They weren't. I mean, people may hate to hear that, but it's the truth. It's a fact. Nobody was going to draft Bronny James but the Los Angeles Lakers. First of all, they orchestrated this whole thing from the get-go. You got LeBron going on a podcast with J.J. Redick while, you know, Darvin Ham was on the hot seat. So they pretty much set that up. J.J. Redick, you know, he comes out in the press conference when he first gets, you know, his first press conference, and he says that, you know, LeBron didn't have a hand in it and he didn't want to be involved. And that's cap. That's cap. Like, stop the cap. We all know that LeBron James handpicked J.J. Redick to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. They're really good friends. You saw them talking basketball, drawing up plays together on this podcast week in and week out. We saw it. We saw this coming, right? So there's nothing that J.J. Redick can come out and say. He can lie all he wants to, but LeBron fully 100% had a hand in getting him this head coaching job. And with that being said, that in turn allowed, you know, opened the door for Bronny to obviously be drafted. And he's drafted 55th overall. Excuse me, y'all. And, you know, I just think that, you know, let's before I even expand any further, let's just look at, you know, his first few games. I'm going to go down he's played six games so far. So his first game, he puts up 4 points. He's 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. The next game he plays, he puts up 3 points, 1 of 3 from the field, 0 of 1 from the 3-point line. Third game, 8 points, 0 of 8 from 3, 3 of 14 from the field. Next game, 2 points, 1 of 5 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3. Now, just yesterday, he did against the Atlanta Hawks have 12 points. Went 5 of 11 from the field and 2 of 5 from 3. And another game as well. He followed that up with a 13-point game, 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. So he did have a couple of double-digit games, a couple of solid games back-to-back of 12 and 13 points. However, you know, outside of those two games, you know, I just think that, like I said, I'm not trying to say that he won't be a good player, but I just personally didn't think he was ready for the NBA right now. But seeing that it wasn't a lot of talent, I mean, not saying it wasn't a lot of talent, it wasn't a lot of, like, huge names coming out of this draft. A lot of people argue that you know, this was the draft that he could come out in and be fine, which, okay, that's cool. But we're not going to sit up here and act like he wouldn't, that he would have got drafted if LeBron wasn't still playing in the NBA right now. And again, I'm all for that. You know, if I was a father, I'd do the same thing for my son. But I think that people are getting offended by people's criticism of Bronny James. But everybody hit the media, all of you, all of the media have done this. You know, LeBron did this. You know, you put Bronny in the spotlight. I know ESPN, you can't even turn on ESPN without them talking about Bronny. I've never seen a 55th pick in the NBA get this much attention, right? So when you put him on a pedestal like that, you have to be ready for the criticism that's going to come after that, with that, you know? So every time he has a bad game, it's going to be nitpicked because they said, oh, he was so NBA ready. Now, I'm not going to be the person to nitpick every single game. I'm just looking at, you know, I said it from the get-go before he started playing in the summer league. I didn't think he was ready to go to the NBA right now. I didn't think he was a one-and-done player just because he didn't get a lot of experience playing. You know, he didn't get enough years, in my opinion, playing in college. But, you know, when your dad is LeBron James, you don't have to. But, you know, again, I personally just didn't think that he was ready. I don't have a problem with what Jaylen Brown said. And, you know, a lot of people are going to blow it up and, you know, create this whole situation out of it. But, again, I just didn't think that he was ready. And I still don't feel like that. And that's, again, before I move on, that's not to say that he will not have a good career in the NBA. So Let's move on and talk college football because there has been some news that came out recently. You know, we got the SEC Media Days You know, I'm an SEC guy, so been tuned in to SEC Media Days and some other conferences' media days have been going on as well. And we all know, you know, Nick Saban is retired from being a head coach at Alabama, is now an analyst, you know, covering college football, while at the same time being one of the, you know, one of the advisors, if you want to call it advisor slash like mentor role at still at Alabama for, you know, the coaching staff for Kalen DeBoer, the head coach, and a mentor for players as well. Now, there was a question that was asked Nick Saban about if he felt that Texas would come in and run the SEC, which he answered no. Obviously, he said no, Texas is not going to run the SEC. And then he did pick, however, UGA and Texas to go to the SEC championship game. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on both of those. So first of all, talking about the statement where somebody asked, with a question where somebody asked him if he thought that Texas would come in and run the SEC. And I don't even understand why this was even a question, to be honest with you, from the get-go. Why would Texas come in and run the SEC? Like, why would Texas or Oklahoma come in and run the SEC? I don't even know what would spark that question. And I've seen some of the responses that, oh, well, Texas beat Alabama last year by double digits, so that means that they're equipped and they're ready to go in the SEC. No, that does not mean that. Let's pump the brakes. First of all, they say double digits like they beat Alabama by 20 points. They won by 10 points. Relax. They won by 10 points. It wasn't a blowout. Let's not get crazy. Game was down to the wire all the way to the fourth quarter. So let's not get crazy and talk about, you know, oh, because they beat Alabama one game, that they are just ready to come in and run the SEC. That just doesn't make any sense. Texas and Oklahoma are going to find very soon that it's not sweet coming into the SEC. It's a grind. When SEC play opens, it's a grind week in and week out. You're going to get everybody's best. And looking at Texas' schedule right now, you know, some of the bigger games that they have, they go on the road to Michigan, you know, That'll probably be a tight game playing up in Ann Arbor, but who knows. But specifically in the SEC, you know, they host the Mississippi State team. Mississippi State is usually a tough team. They play pretty tough. They still have the Red River rivalry where they're playing against Oklahoma. They host Georgia. Florida, don't really know. They go on the road to Vanderbilt. Should be straight there, but, you know, who knows. They host Florida. Should be okay with that. Don't really know what Florida's going to look like. They go on the road to Arkansas. They host Kentucky, and then they go on the road to Texas A&M. Those are not, you know, some of those SEC games, those are not going to be easy games. They're not going to be easy. So, if you think that Texas is going to come in and run the SEC, I got news for you. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, you know, and even looking at Oklahoma's schedule, SEC, they host Tennessee. That's going to be a tough one. They go on the road to Auburn. That'll be tough. Again, they got the game against Texas. They host South Carolina on the road to Ole Miss. That'll be a tough one. On the road to Missouri, that'll be a tough one. They host Alabama. That'll be a tough one. And they're on the road against LSU. That'll be a tough one. So, let's not get it twisted now, Texas, Oklahoma. Y'all will see very soon. But yeah, I just think that that's a crazy statement to even think that Texas would come in and run the SEC. So we'll see what happens. But then, you know, just to piggyback off that, with Saban picking Texas and Georgia to go to the SEC championship game, if you if you don't think, let me rephrase what I'm going to say. If you can't see what Nick Saban is doing right here by picking Georgia and Texas, then you really don't know Coach Saban. Coach Saban has talked about rat poison his entire, you know, while he's the head coach of Alabama. You know, when people would pick Alabama to win the national championship in the beginning of the year, you know, have an undefeated season, win an SEC championship game, he called that rat poison, right? So why would he pick Alabama to go to the SEC championship game and win it and win a national title? Why would he pick Alabama when he himself has called that rat poison in the past? He is playing chess, people. Saban knows that if he can give this team, this Alabama team, a young Alabama team, but a very talented Alabama team, the motivation that they need, they are returning some production on the offensive side of the ball, not more than most in the SEC, but they are returning some good amount of the production that they had last year. And, you know, Jalen Milroe obviously coming in. You got Kendrick Law that'll be back. Kobe Prentice. Jalen Hill. He's a receiver that's going to, I feel like he'll have a nice breakout year. You got Jam Miller, Justice Hayes in the backfield. You know, you got some pieces, right? You got CJ Dupree, tight end. And you got some young guys coming in, right? And I think that, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I think that, yes, the secondary is young. And he did make a point about, you know, the secondary having some youth. And we have to be able to, you know, make sure that we get off to a good start with them. But this is not something that is new to Alabama. They've dealt with this in the past. And I do think that by the time the season kicks off, I think that, you know, once the guys get a couple wins under their belt, they get that confidence early on, I think that, you know, they'll be good. You know, they're going to get tested, but I think that, you know, overall, I think this Alabama team is motivated, and I think that Saban did a great job of giving them that extra motivation by not picking Alabama to win the SEC championship game. Because, again, why would he do that? Of course he's not going to do that. Now, when it comes down to game day and him picking Alabama, and he seems, I think he'll have a hard time picking against Alabama. I'm not saying that he won't do it, but I do think that he'll have a hard time doing it. I think in Tuscaloosa, he will not pick against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So, I don't know. I just think that, again, this is chess, people. So don't overreact, my fellow Bama fans, even people that aren't Bama fans, to the haters too. Don't overreact to Saban not picking Alabama to go to the SEC championship game. Trust and believe, there's a reason why, and that's to get these guys motivation, because he knows that Alabama football is going to thrive off of being that underdog this year. They did last year. They're definitely going to do that this year. So I'm excited about the team. And I'm telling y'all right now, you better hope and pray Alabama doesn't win it all this year. You better hope and pray. All the haters out there, y'all better hope and pray, because you will have to block me until the end of time. Like, Coach DeBoer winning the Natty in his first year as head coach of Alabama? Come on now. You might as well block me until the end of time. I'm telling you right now. You know, a lot of people, you know, they've said he couldn't recruit in the South. He has the number one recruiting class in 2025 right now. Coach Debo is cooking. I mean, Courtney Morgan killing it on the recruiting trail. Like, I don't think y'all understand. Like, y'all thought Bama was about to fall off, but Bama is Bama. This is what Bama does. So, just wait. Just wait on it. Y'all better hope and pray. I'm telling you. And finally, with that being said, speaking of Nick Saban, man, big news that was announced just yesterday. Alabama is actually going to be renaming the field after Nick Saban. So this is according to multiple reports. Alabama's going to name the field Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium to honor the GOAT, Coach Saban. And his name change is supposed to be taking place during the USF game on September the 7th. This is exciting, man. This is great, man. I think that that's a great thing for them to do that this year. To honor the GOAT, man, and it's going to be cool. I kind of thought that they might name it like Bryant Saban Stadium or something like that, but that Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium has a nice little ring to it as well. So you can't be I can't hate on that either. I mean, I'm cool. I was cool with either one, but I think that yeah, that's going to be exciting, man. That's going to be exciting. I would love to be down there for that, but that's going to be, you know, too tough for me to be down there for, during that week. But I'll definitely be tuned in, you know, watching it on TV. But, yeah, man, I think that, you know, them renaming that field, look, that's just going to help Bama even more. It's going to help Bama out even more. So, you know, I'm excited about this season, man. I'm excited about football in general, y'all. I think we have about five more Saturdays, y'all, until college football is officially here. Two more weeks before the preseason, the Hall of Fame game is kicking off, and then five more Saturdays until the season officially kicks off for college football, and then obviously we'll have the NFL right after that as well. I'm just, y'all. And College Football 25 came out too. Man, this is a great time. It's such a great time for football fans everywhere. And y'all, I gotta get me a PS5 so I can get College Football 25. I haven't even played the game yet. I'm suffering. I'm watching all these screen shares online, like, I gotta get me a PS5. I'm probably gonna trade in my PS4, get some money back, and then, you know, put that towards a PS5 so I can get this College Football 25, because I love college football. Like, when NCAA, back in the day, I played NCAA 1,000 times more than I played Madden. So, yeah, I gotta make it happen, y'all. I'll keep y'all updated on that. But yeah, look, I hope, I appreciate, that's all I have for y'all. I appreciate everybody tuning in, man. Giving me some time as always. Keep rocking with me, man. I'm, again, like I said, I'm excited to start my new job next week. I'll be coming to y'all more often now that I'll be working from home. I'll be able to record a little more often and like I want to, and be able to give y'all some more content, some more material, man. So look, keep rocking with me. Peace, love, blessings, man. God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a great rest of your week, man. I'll see y'all again next week. I'm out.